Last Sunday's sermon was based on Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, which records the time when Jesus proved that he is God by stilling a storm and calming a raging sea. And if you recall, he did that simply by saying, "Be still." Jesus thereby showed that he is our Creator. Jesus is God in human flesh. Today's sermon is based on our gospel reading, which is Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Now, in today's reading, we find more evidence that Jesus is God as we witness him exercise authority over a bunch of demons who had utterly possessed a man. However, before we examine today's gospel reading and then see how it applies to our lives today, I would first like to take a little time to tell you what Scripture teaches about the devil and his demons, because many people don't have a clue about where they came from or who they really are. Simply put, the devil and his demons are fallen angels who have rebelled against God. Now, the Bible doesn't teach us much about angels, but what we do know is that the angels are spirit beings whom God created to serve us. That's right, angels are totally different beings than humans. So please do away with the ridiculous idea that when people die, they go to heaven and become angels. That's not what the Bible teaches. Angels are angels, humans are humans, never the twain shall change places. Now, the angels that were created to serve us, well, not all of them liked that idea. One of the angels refused to be our servant. In fact, this angel wanted to take God's place. This rebellious angel is known by various names. Some of them you've heard, some of them probably not. Here's a few of the names: the devil, Satan, the serpent, the prince of the world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We heard about that in our reading from Ephesians. The god of this age, Lucifer, the father of lies. Jesus says the following about the devil. He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." When the devil rebelled against God, many other angels followed him, and these other fallen angels are known as the devils, or demons. And along with their leader, the devil, these demons prowl around the world speaking lies and thereby leading people away from Christ or keeping them from believing in Christ in the first place. In fact, Paul writes about this deceptive nature of the demons trying to keep people from believing in God. Listen to what Paul writes. "The god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." With that said, there is something you must understand. The devil and his demons are created beings. They are not more powerful than God. This is so important, because there are some non-Christian religions that teach there are two equal but opposite forces at work in the universe, constantly fighting against each other, the power of good and the power of evil, and we'll have to wait until the end to find out which one wins, because even though they are opposite forces, they are equal, and who knows which one will come out on top. But my friends, Scripture does not teach that anywhere. The devil is not an equal but opposite power on the same level as God. No. Our Creator, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is in control. And the devil never, ever had a chance. Therefore, those who trust in God and take refuge in His Son have nothing to fear. But those who reject God and see no need for Jesus, they are doomed to be condemned with the devil and his demons. This takes us to another very important point that we need to understand. Martin Luther once said that we humans are like one of two kinds of horses. God rides one kind of horse and holds the reins. The devil rides another kind of horse and holds the reins. Simply put, there is no human who is in control of his or her own life. Either God is your master, or the devil is your master. Sadly, there are many people in this world, even right here in Jamestown, because I've met them, there are many people who want nothing to do with Jesus or his church, and yet they think they are in control of their own lives and masters of their own destiny and captains of their own ship. But what they don't realize is that they are puppets of the devil and slaves to his evil will. My friends, if your heart and mind are not controlled by the Holy Spirit, then the only other option is that your heart and mind are controlled by the devil. That's what Paul means when he talks about the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Remember that line from our reading from Ephesians? John says the same thing when he writes at the end of our reading, "We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world," referring to the unbelievers, "is under the control of the evil one." Now, with that understood, allow me to talk very briefly about something else you need to understand, and that is the difference between demon oppression and demon possession. What's demon oppression? Well, demon oppression is when God allows the devil and his demons to persecute believers in order to make us grow in our faith and trust in God all the more. That's exactly what was happening when God allowed the devil to persecute Job. God actually used that circumstance to strengthen Job's faith. That's also what happened when God sent a demon to torment the Apostle Paul. Paul actually grew in his faith as a result of that. And so there are times when God may allow us Christians to be oppressed by demons in various ways, but this oppression is always under God's sovereign control, and God will use this oppression to actually make us stronger and mature in our faith. But in contrast, demon possession is what happens when somebody rejects Christ and ends up being a slave of the devil. Now, when we hear those two words, demon possession, we usually think of movies like The Exorcist. Any of you remember that old movie that came out quite a few years ago? The Exorcist? Yeah, when we watch movies like that, we see people whose bodies levitate, whose heads spin around, whose mouths utter obscene words and blasphemies in voices not their own. People get that idea about demon possession from today's gospel reading, where indeed we heard about a man whose behavior was very abnormal because he was possessed by demons. But what you need to know is that even though many, many people are possessed by demons, only a very, very, very few exhibit abnormal behaviors like the man in our gospel reading. You see, there are some cases when the devil or demons will control a person in a very obvious way, so that no one is in doubt that such a person must be controlled by some type of evil power. That was the case with the man in our gospel reading. However, and you need to understand this, in most cases, demon possession goes completely and totally unnoticed. In most cases, demon-possessed people are in their right mind. They even might appear to be good people. They think they're in control of their lives, and they seem to be. But because they see no need for Jesus, because they see no need to follow the Lord, in reality, they are demon-possessed. But you see, my friends, this is where the devil is so deceptive. You see, if he can get people to think that they're in control of their lives, that everything's going so great and they have so much control that they don't even need God, while in reality they're really possessed by the devil, well then the devil has truly deceived them. There's a lot of people out there who think they're good people, they think they're in control, but they don't really need Jesus, they don't really need to hear his word, but they think that they're good people, they think that they're in control, but in reality, they're demon-possessed. There are many people in the world, some right here in Jamestown, who are law-abiding citizens and who even do some good things. But like I said, they see no need for Jesus or his church. Either they do not believe that God exists. I've met some people like that. I even talked to some atheists in Fargo the other week. Either they believe that God doesn't exist, or they believe in some false gods of some false religion. And as I've already said, these people think they run their own lives, but the sad reality is that they're actually possessed by the devil. That's exactly what John means when at the end of our reading he says, "The whole world," referring to the unbelievers, "the whole world is under the control of the evil one." Now, with all that understood, we're ready to briefly examine today's gospel reading. Let's take a look. Jesus and his disciples travel to a region where they are met by a demon-possessed man. In fact, this man is so overrun by demons that he can't even speak for himself. Instead, one of the demons speaks through him, and listen to what the demon says to Jesus. He says, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." So much for the demons being on an equal plane with God, huh? Here we see that this demon knows exactly who Jesus is, and this demon trembles with fear. You see, this demon knows that Jesus is in control and that the time is short for the devil and his demons. In fact, this demon and his fellow demons think that Jesus has come and that the end of the world is near and that they are about to be cast into hell right there, right then. In fact, they tell Jesus, "Please don't cast us into the abyss," which is another name for the eternal hell, where the devil and his demons will suffer for all eternity. But even though the demon wrongly thinks that the end is near, Jesus knows that it's not. Jesus knows that the final day is yet to come in the future, and we're still waiting for that final day. Well, then the demons beg Jesus to send them into a herd of pigs instead. And Jesus permits them to go into the pigs, to leave the man and go into the pigs. Now, we don't know exactly why Jesus did this. The Bible doesn't tell us. Possibly he sent them into the pigs to keep them from possessing another person. But he had to send them somewhere, because it wasn't yet the final day, not yet time to send them into the abyss, but he didn't want them to go from one person to another person, so he sends them into the herd of pigs. In any case, the pigs go crazy, they run over a cliff, and they drown. Now, there were people there who witnessed this whole thing, and they went and told the other people of the community what had happened, and they all came out to see what was going on. But here is the amazing thing. Instead of falling on their knees and thanking Jesus and confessing their sins and putting their trust in him, what do? They tell him to get the heck out of town. They want him to leave. Apparently, these people were also possessed by demons, just not in a way that was obvious to any of them. Now, isn't that ironic? These people knew about that demon-possessed man, that one demon-possessed man who ran around naked and lived in the tombs. They knew about him, but instead of trying to help him, they condemned him. And here's the amazing thing. They were totally blind to the fact that they were also possessed. The devil had lied to them about Jesus, and they believed that lie. That's why they told Jesus to leave them. But the man who was freed from demon possession did not fear Jesus. The Holy Spirit had created in him a heart of repentance and faith in Christ. In fact, did you notice that this man actually begged to go with Jesus? He didn't fear Jesus. He trusted in him as his Lord and Savior. But even though this man who had been freed and now was a child of God through faith in Jesus, even though this man wanted to go, Jesus had another plan for him. He says, "Return and tell how much God has done for you." And then, notice what Luke writes about this. He says, "So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him." Did you catch that? Jesus told the man to tell everybody what God had done for him. And Luke then says that this man told everyone what Jesus had done for him. You see, this man believed that Jesus was God in human flesh. He knew this because only God has power over the devil and his demons. Now, with all that understood, how does all this apply to us? You know what the devil would like us to do? The devil would like us to read this part of Luke's gospel and say, "What a bunch of fairy tales. What a bunch of nonsense. Can't wait to leave church and get on with real life." If that's what you're thinking, the devil has great control of your heart and mind. The devil is never so in control of people when he gets them to deny his existence. No, my friends, this reading applies to our lives today very, very well. Simply put, you need to know that you're not in control of your life. You are not your own master. You're not in charge of your own destiny. Remember Luther's two riders analogy? You're either one of two horses. So the question I have for you is this: who holds the reins in your life? If you're here today just going through the motions of worship, but it's not penetrating your heart, if you don't really take your sins seriously, and you don't really think you need forgiveness from Jesus, if you don't think you need to hear God's word or take it seriously, if you want to live the way you want to live and you could care less what God's will is for your life, then you need to know the hard truth. You are a puppet of the devil and you are demon possessed. On the other hand, if this service actually means something to you, if the word of God that is being read and preached is penetrating your heart, if you agree with God about your sin and agree that you deserve hell, if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know that you're forgiven because of Him, if you know that you need to hear God's word and if you actually believe that word, and if you want to turn from your sin and do better because you know that God's plan for your life is what is best, then you know what? The Holy Spirit has given you a new heart and a new mind. You are a child of God. You have been set free. But you know what? Even if you are possessed by the evil one, it doesn't have to stay that way. Remember that man in our reading? He was totally overrun by demons until he met Jesus, and Jesus set him free. Jesus is here right now to set you free. If you've been hearing these words today, and you're convicted of your sin, and you want Jesus as your Savior, then guess what? He has set you free. You can come to this altar today with all of your sins, and you can know that you are forgiven because Jesus died on the cross in your place of damnation. That is why it's possible for God to forgive you. We need to remember that, because one way the devil cheapens the Christian faith is getting us to think that being forgiven is easy for God. The devil wants us to think that God looks at our sins and goes, "Oh, no big deal. Everybody does it. Yeah, you're forgiven. Go your merry way." Uh-uh. One sin is enough to send us to hell for all eternity. That's how bad it is. So how is it possible for God to forgive people like us who've sinned more times than we can possibly imagine? God is holy. He must punish sin. Here's the solution he came up with. He took your sin and my sin, the sin of that demon-possessed man as well as the people in that village, the sin of all people, and he put it on his son, and there Jesus suffered the damnation that should have been yours and mine. And so, even though forgiveness is free for you, it cost God everything. And that's how much he loves you. And so when you come to Holy Communion and you hear Jesus say, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you." He's reminding you of that sacrifice he made for you. And that is the reason why you are forgiven. It's no wonder the devil doesn't want people to hear about the message of the cross. Because then people will finally realize how much God really does love them. And then, maybe, just maybe, we'll follow him and trust him. My friends, you need to know that Jesus has conquered the devil, and conquered him in a way that most people don't realize. Jesus conquered the devil by being the servant the devil never wanted to be. Jesus humbled himself, willingly laid down on the cross, and allowed people to nail him there. He could have used his almighty power to wipe them out with a thought. But he allowed himself to be nailed there because he loved you that much. That's how Jesus conquered the devil and his power over you. And if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the devil can't harm you. Remember what John said in our reading, and please pay attention to this. John said, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That also reminds me of what Peter writes. He says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." That means standing firm in Jesus. So my friends, after you receive Christ's body and blood today, and you leave this place where the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, remember these words: "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Amen.